I think I've lost the ability to focus on movies.
Really?
And I think it's because nothing excites me anymore.
Endgame did it to you.
Endgame was kind of like, it was a culmination of so much time and so much excitement and so many storylines wound together that boom, and we got a resolution.
It's massive franchise fatigue.
It is. I think so. And man, as a kid, I remember going to the movies all the time and being all focused and locked in. And this is it. This is the world. This is what I'm into. I love movies. I love watching them.
Yeah.
It's not the same anymore. Mm. I watched The King the other day that's on Netflix. Timothy Chalamet. You know, Timothy Chalamet, the little, like, he's got like a 2-inch waist. Mm-mm. And he's got really long hair and he looks wet the whole movie.
I'm not familiar with this.
Well, he's basically Henry V. And the whole movie is about him not wanting to be a king. And then he becomes the king. And then he goes to invade Paris. And Robert Pattinson is the prince of the French king. And he kills him. And then there's this crazy moment at the very end of the movie where he's been betrayed. Mm-hmm. And he just takes a dagger. And the guy's kind of like bowing down to him. And he just stabs him once really hard in the back of the head and pulls his knife out. It's like,
shit.
And it, like, movies like that and The Irishman, they're interesting to me because not that The Irishman's another mob movie.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
It's fucking 3 hours long.
That's right. And as you're listening to the Dan and Cody podcast episode 194, you'll think it's 3 hours long.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
This is it. Right here, Cody. You put on those headphones and you go to work.
Why are you yelling?
This is where our message is heard.
It's time to get hype. Say it with me.
What are we saying?
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Meet Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Get some.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Woo.
Get some.
So with so I watched The King and then I dove into The Irishman, and I know, like, with The Irishman, it's this really long story about this guy that basically hung out with Jimmy Hoffa and some other Italian mobsters. And it plays on a lot of stuff mm-hmm. that you're really interested in. But, you know, that touching on movies that I'm not into it anymore. And it's funny because, for example, the other day I was browsing through Disney Plus mm-hmm. and I'm just like, I don't care about any of these movies. I actually am more interested in a series
yeah.
than I am watching a movie.
Well, a series has way more ability to dive in deep.
And it has more of an ability to surprise you.
Yeah.
Just like The Mandalorian on Friday last week, you and I were like, this is garbage. Wah, wah. Yeah, A-Team meets what? What were you saying?
Stargate
SG-1 meets A-Team was the last episode of Mandalorian. Ugh. Boring.
Barf, man.
And it wasn't very good. There was a lot more dialogue. We prefer the action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's best if Gina Carano not speak.
Yeah.
She's a fighter, and she looks great.
She should keep fighting.
And looking great.
Yeah.
But the talking?
Yeah.
It's funny you bring up The Irishman because... Martin Scorsese has come out. First of all, I don't get this man. He contradicts himself quite a lot in the recent months.
He's older than 70.
Yeah, but like
boomer.
Wasn't he the one?
Boomer.
Yeah, what is this okay boomer thing too?
Well, we'll get into that. What are you saying about Scorsese?
Scorsese. At first, he was like, fuck Netflix, right?
Yeah, well, it wasn't Netflix.
Yeah.
He was fighting the idea that these franchise films are cinema, and he's saying they're not.
But I think he was against Netflix at a time, too, or is that Spielberg? Like, Spielberg doesn't like Netflix.
Yeah, there was some beef with one of these streamers, and then they ended up signing a big contract where they're being paid loads of money to make movies.
I think it's Scorsese. But he came out and was like, I don't want people to watch The Irishman on their phones or on a small device. It wasn't meant for that. It's not intended for that. It's meant for the screen and a TV.
Well, let me be honest with you, Martin. You might want to watch it on your phone so that you think that Robert De Niro is not 70, but 30 as you're trying to portray him at right? certain points in this movie.
Dude, all I got to say is, this is the shit I hate too with artists. They're like, oh, no. You shouldn't, you're not appreciating my art the way I want you to. That's gone. You when you make the art, you don't have control of it anymore.
Right.
You know?
You let people take in and experience your art in however they choose to take it in.
Yeah, I hate this shit where it's like, oh, I want people to look at my paintings on 3 hours of sleep.
And in a dark room.
Right.
With somebody standing over their shoulder.
Exactly. That's how it's intended to be viewed.
Right.
Or like, no. You need to drop acid like right when the lion roars in Wizard of Oz.
I'm all right with that.
But
like, it's just like everybody says, what's the album that you need to be stoned to?
Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd, The Wall. Like you gotta be stoned out of your mind to enjoy it. Sure, if that's what they wanted for you to get the full experience, why not? All Scorsese is saying that if you want the full experience to The Irishman, watch it in theaters. I watched it on my television, and you know, I was entertained because I love Pacino.
Yeah.
And I love De Niro. And, you know,
Pesci in it too.
Pesci was great.
Is Maniscalco in it?
Yep.
Love Maniscalco.
Yeah, he's got kind of a small part though. Yeah.
Ray Romano.
Romano's really good.
Here's what I got to say to Scorsese though.
What's that?
You want me to watch it on the screen and on TV?
Yeah.
Make me, Scorsese.
Are you challenging Martin Scorsese?
Yeah, I'm challenging you right now.
How would you defeat Martin Scorsese in a fight?
A slap.
Really?
I think he'll go down with a slap.
I think he would outwit you.
No way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Martin Scorsese would outwit you, Dan.
Dude, if you slapped Martin Scorsese and his glasses popped off and it got caught on film, you're famous. Rest of your life.
Name another famous person you slapped and you wouldn't be famous after you did that.
Fred Savage.
No, you would be very famous.
Bad?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be famous after slapping... All
you got to just say is that one guy nobody knows, and it's fine.
Joshua Jackson.
Joshua... No. You'd upset me. Nobody touches Joshua Jackson.
Pacey?
Nobody touches Joshua Jackson.
Not Charlie Bucket or whatever his name was?
Charlie
Baskin? Mighty Ducks?
No, Charlie Banks was... Was it Charlie Banks?
He was... No, that was Adam Banks.
Adam Banks, and then it was Charlie Bucket. No, Charlie Bucket's...
Charlie Bucket's...
Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka, right? Yeah. Well, but he's Charlie something.
He's Charlie something.
Charlie Conway.
Charlie Conway! Conway!
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, absolutely.
But no, like, Scorsese, man... You can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me how to watch it.
You're right.
I'm a dad.
Hey, Dan.
I got time. I don't have time for a 3-hour fucking movie.
That's great.
A 3-hour block? No.
3.5.
Three hours and a half.
3 hours and like 23 minutes.
So I got to watch it. I got to watch an hour on the TV.
Yeah.
Then I'm probably going to take that to the phone.
Right.
The next day.
Uh-huh.
Like on a lunch break. And then I'm gonna watch that on an iPad, like in bed.
Right.
After I've watched a bunch of shit with Moxie on YouTube. Like I don't have 3.5 hours.
I mean, I thought it was interesting. Once you watch it though, it's a really it's different from other mob movies in that the mobster lives through all of this and he's alone and old.
Yeah.
And it's like you can't be a mobster forever.
No.
Sooner or later, that lifestyle kind of goes out the door. But that's analogous to anything.
It's like what we're seeing with hip-hop artists.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Snoop, buddy.
Yeah.
Dude, you want to get high every day, cool. But there's nothing that's like edgy about you anymore.
Yeah.
Dude, you're literally old enough to apply for
AARP,
man. But that's it. But that's the way it is. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking it. It's just, it happens to everybody. And that's why old people like Joan Rivers, you know, they do that stuff to their face to make them look younger. It's so that they can keep an edge.
Yeah.
And the reality is everybody becomes old and you kind of have to accept it. And that was hard to watch for me.
What? You don't have to spoil it. Don't,
there's nothing to spoil, but essentially, you know, the whole film, it's the point of view of Robert De Niro's character.
Mm-hmm.
And you experience this world with him, and you see him in an old folks home at the beginning of the movie,
mm-hmm.
and he's telling his story, and then it progresses, and then it comes back to that time, and you kind of see his life. And what it really is it's analogous to anything else in that the world is... You're not always going to be a professional basketball player.
Yeah.
You're not always going to be a top executive at a bank. Why? Because time beats everybody.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. You know?
Time is undefeated.
Time's undefeated, man. That's the real champion.
It'll get you.
But humanity at some point or another will figure out a way to defeat time.
I'm sure I will get around to watching it, but just...
You should. It's really great. I actually, the other day, was like... scrolling through things and I'm like, I don't want to watch this movie. I've seen all of these shows.
Yeah.
I think I'll watch The Irishman again.
Again?
Yeah.
You've seen it twice.
No. I didn't hit play. I'm going to though, because Pacino, he plays Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah.
And the charisma that moves between, you know, the camaraderie that him and De Niro have, they're on the screen a ton together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sweet. I think one of the tough things for me, though, is De Niro still seems like De Niro.
Mm-hmm.
Pacino, like I've seen him in interviews, and he looks like he's like 76 years old, man. He's just like,
you know, he's an old dude,
but not a snitch. You know, like
I'm not a snitch.
Yeah. So, anyway, check it out. Irishman's cool. Holiday enjoyment.
I'm down.
All right. Recap. Every week, we want you guys to give us a call. Tell us what your thoughts and feelings were about the topics we brought to you.
Yeah.
We want to hear how you feel about things. You're in your car, you're driving, you're hearing Dan talking about something.
And then you say, oh, hell no, that ain't right.
That's right. You get on your phone, jump on Instagram, hit the record voice button, and leave us a voicemail.
Yeah. But none of y'all did that. But that's okay. It was Thanksgiving. People were around with their fams.
You had a lot going on. But just to kind of recap last week, Dan, what did we hit on?
We hit on Sugar Ray.
Oh, and Cameo.
And Cameo.
So what was Cameo again?
So Cameo is it's a website where you can book, you know, D to B list level celebs and have them send you a message for X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
And then you can give that message to whomever you like.
Okay.
Your friend, your mom.
Right.
Your dog.
Sure.
Your girlfriend. And they'll say anything they want. But so this article went crazy because Mark McGrath sent a breakup message to this dude named Braden.
Right.
And then just an update on that story. Apparently it was all a hoax.
All a hoax.
Yeah. Sugar Ray is now saying, like, I knew it was a joke, but I went with it. But this guy, there's this Twitter account. His name on Twitter was at Sean Appalled. He's claiming that he paid Mark McGrath to do this breakup video, and then he paid, what's his name?
I don't know.
Scaramucci.
Then he paid Scaramucci to
to break up with the girl.
Right.
Yeah, from the guy.
Okay.
And then he posted all these videos like, I didn't get any followers from this, from doing this video, but oh well. So it was all a hoax. We got duped.
Scaramucci's done it to us again. Blasted. Done it to us
a goddamn again.
Damn you.
But Cameo, you're welcome because we brought y'all business.
Yeah.
With Joe.
That's right.
Ian got Joe a cameo from Kevin Conroy, the homie who did Batman the Animated Series.
Cool.
Which is really cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I thought you were going to say Charlie Conway.
Oh, that would be cool.
Joshua Jackson.
Because ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And we talked about T.I.,
yep,
we kind of cleaned that up. Mm-hmm. We talked about the guy that was throwing in extra nugs.
Right.
And what was your crime?
The homie who kept 7 grams of coke up his foreskin and had been, was mentally ill.
Classic guy. The foreskin cocaine caller.
Classic Kevin.
That's it. That's it. So we hit on all those. So every day you guys listen to us, or every time you listen to us and you want to send us a message, jump on Instagram, give us a little bit, and then, you know, we'll play it up here. We'll have a conversation.
That's right.
Anyway, get on it. Dan, it's the holiday season, man.
It's the holiday season.
Oh.
So to get into it.
Yeah.
You know, the weather isn't always good to us Californians.
What?
We don't always get like the snow.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. People don't put up lights.
Right. There's
not we a don't lot see of that. Snowmen.
Yeah. So to get into it, I really got to beat myself in the head with it.
Are you putting up lights?
Yeah. Bro, it's all day.
What does that mean?
That shit, that's just like...
You're not even going to be here for Christmas.
Here, yeah, I know. But like, you don't want to be that house. I don't want to be that house. You're that house.
Yep. Yes, I am.
You are that house.
I'm not a house. I was thinking about putting up lights, and then I stopped thinking about it.
You should do it.
Nah, man.
It's the problem is, like, you need to be on top of it because...
If I was going to put lights on my house, I would have done it before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and you don't want to then do it and then be like, well, I got to take these down in like 20 days.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like not worth it. But it gets you in the mood.
Yep.
It gets you in the season.
Yep.
I put on KOST 103.5.
You're listening to Christmas music during the holidays.
Yeah. All day.
103.5 KOST.
Yeah, my podcast consumption, like, beef.
Does it really?
Just completely goes down.
Have you looked into a holiday podcast? No. Is there a Santa Claus podcast where Santa tells his stories?
That would be cool.
It'd be interesting if Santa Claus would leave us a message.
I would want to hear a podcast about the lore of Santa.
Oh, interesting.
You know, every episode we like dive into it. I saw some, I watched like the History Channel or something, and they were talking about how like Santa, the misconceptions of Santa, like in real life, like how they could have been, you know?
What do you mean how they could have been?
Like people, like the reindeer, and this, it was a very interesting documentary about how like the reindeer in this area where St. Nicholas could have lived or been, there's mushrooms. Like psychedelic mushrooms that the reindeer eat, which could like, and which folks eat, which could appear that the reindeer are flying, which the myth may have like,
my eyes crossed, man,
derived from,
sure,
you know,
yeah,
that sort of thing,
yeah.
But that would be cool, a cool podcast idea.
Yeah, it'd be a great one.
So, I got the playlist at work.
Sure.
Spotify holiday music.
Sure.
We're just going for it, you know?
Nice. Very good.
We finally introduced the elf on the shelf. You know the elf on the shelf?
Yeah, we've had this conversation about the elf on the shelf. We had it last year.
The
big thing with the elf on the shelf was...
We didn't do it last year.
I know, but we talked about it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't resonate with us. It wasn't a thing we did, but now it's a thing.
It's a thing. Do you know the rules of Elf on the Shelf?
It changes its location every day. It's right. There to make sure that you're not being bad.
Right.
And it's like the most sexual looking elf I've ever seen.
Are you attracted to it?
No, but it's just like, oh, look at me. I'm just a little sneaky elf. I'm just looking down at all you little crazies.
It definitely has the eyes.
Yeah, it
of
does.
Like, hey, do me.
Yeah.
I'm a little sexy elf. But
why did you choose to go Elf on the Shelf?
We did it because she's old. She's 3 now. She gets Christmas. And we need help. We need help with that little girl's behavior.
Okay.
But, like, it comes with a book. You have the elf in the box. And, like, we did it good. Like, we're on board with making Christmas, like, magical for Moxie. So, we went out somewhere. And before we left, I, like, ran back in the house. Like, put the elf out.
Sure.
On a shelf.
yeah,
on the DVD shelf, had the book on the table,
okay,
and wrote a note from Santa that was like, "Dear Moxie,
was she into
enjoy
that?
Enjoy this book."
Was she into-
freaked out?
Like, did she listen to you read her the letter?
Yeah, I was like, "Moxie, there's a letter from Santa here," and she was like, like freaking out. And then we're like, "We're gonna read this book. What's that elf doing up there? We're gonna find out tonight."
Cool.
Let's go upstairs, get ready for bed. We'll read the book. Read the book. Book explains the rules. Elf reports to Santa daily.
Right before bed, you did this, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and now she's just like, crack, eyes wide open like that. Fucking elf is just waiting to get me.
It's just funny that she, like that book, that story resonates instantly with the kid. Because she has a billion books that we'll read, and she'll be like, fuck this. And she'll be like, go do something else while I'm reading the book. This one, though, crack.
Yeah, because there is an incentive.
Right.
There's a true incentive in her mind, which is toys, gifts, presents, open, excited, now, happening.
Santa, Santa.
Santa, Santa, Santa.
I mean, the family that started it, apparently, like, it was just a random family. This was their little game they did. She made it up. Now she's fucking billionaire.
Well.
Everyone's doing Elf on the Shelf now. Huh. But, I mean, her, like, it was amazing. She, like, totally, we can be like, Mox, Buzz Lightyear is watching. That's what she named it. Buzz Lightyear.
So you name the elf?
You name the elf. You write it in the book together.
Okay.
The elf goes away. You cannot touch the elf or the magic will fly out of his heart and he won't be able to get back to the North Pole.
Is there a way to make it look like the elf's skin sucks in and it looks like a skeleton and it turns to dust if she does touch it?
Maybe.
That'd be badass.
I'm
kind of
artsy.
I'd like to see that happen.
It is.
Moxie, did you touch it? Watch, it's going to slowly decay the next night. It just looks more gaunt.
Yeah.
More gaunt until it just completely turns to dust. All that's left is a little bile of dust.
Sorry, Moxie.
And then the next year you try to do the elf on the shelf and you're like, we're going to do, what about the elf on the shelf? And you're like, Moxie, you touched the elf.
You touched the elf, kid. There was my boy Dave. What's up, Dave? We went to their house like maybe 2 or 3 years ago for, it was like Christmas Eve. And Jenny was playing Simon Says with their kids. They do the elf on the shelf, right? Little David tells Jenny, Simon says, go get, the elf. And of course, Jenny's like, well, okay, whatever. Grabs the elf. All those kids, his kids, looked at Jenny holding the elf and they were like, like the shit hit the fan, the record scratched. Dave walks in the room. He's like, oh my God, what? No, Jenny, you can't. No, you can't touch the elf. And like Dave was like, the son's name's Dave. He's like, oh my God, Daddy, what's going to happen to her? And like they start freaking out. And then Dave, like on the fly, I love it because like you got to be quick. You got to like, he's like, we're going to put the elf back. Jenny's got to write a note to Santa. We're going to get on the phone to Santa right now and explain the situation. And the kid looks at Dave and he's like, he looks at Jenny. He's like, you let the magic fly out of his heart. So that is now we told Moxie that on the day. We were like, look, if you touch it, the magic's going to fly out of his heart. But she's on board. It's great.
So that is magic flies out of the heart. Magic flies out. And then what happens to her?
The incentive was this elf reports back to Santa if you're being good on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
So now Moxie's not eating. We're like, you getting this, Buzz? You getting all this? And then she will fucking scarf it down. Like, this thing is working. It's like she's touching the tree. I'm like, hey, Buzz Lightyear, let Santa know. You know, Moxie's touching the tree. She'll stop.
You got some interesting places you're gonna put him throughout the over the next couple days.
Right now he's hanging off of a picture frame upside down. She gets a kick out of it. She finds it every day. But it's good, man. I love that the magic of Christmas is back, but I don't want to fuck it up. Like I feel like a protector of it. You know?
Right.
I feel like Jenny's not even fully on board, but I'm like, this girl's gonna believe in Santa, okay? Like, I'm gonna go hard.
Okay.
It makes it fun again.
Sure.
I don't want to, like, people just like, oh, bringing presents over. I'm like, no. Santa brings presents.
Right.
I saw something on Facebook that was like, don't tell your kid that big presents like PlayStations and stuff come from Santa.
Okay.
Because then the other kids who didn't get PlayStations are going to be like, why does Santa hate me?
Oh, that's interesting.
So like that, like a major gift should come from
parents,
mom or dad. Yeah.
Wrap it. Put it under the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
I never really thought of it like that.
I didn't either, but
then you're like, Santa brought me an Xbox. Like, Santa brought me a fucking pencils.
Yeah, exactly. What's Santa brought you that? An Xbox?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, do you really believe in Santa at 6 and 7? You really start questioning things when you're around other kids.
Yeah, when do you fall out of it?
I think, you know, you can buy into it between 2 and 5, and then it starts to, you start questioning things. And then you hit 8, 9 years old, and you're like, okay.
Then you deal with the heavy truths.
Absolutely. it's a small window to enjoy Christmas, but it's something that lasts forever, and you will always believe.
I want to know from people listening to this podcast, when...
Yes.
And how they learned about
Santa Claus,
the big guy.
Absolutely. Go ahead, send us a message, get on your phone, pull out Instagram, go in and make a little voicemail to us. We'll play it on next week's recap.
How did you learn about how was Santa presented to you? What were the rules? Did your family have cool rules?
Yeah.
Because everybody's Santa experience is different.
It is different. It's a different household, a different tradition.
My parents said as you get older, Santa comes, like, delivers less because he's training the parents to take over, you know?
Yeah.
Which I thought was good.
That's a good transition. That wasn't the case for me.
Your mom was just like, sorry, Charlie, no Santa this year.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of do the Santa. Santa for us was always the unwrapped gifts.
Oh.
So when Christmas morning came... Like, we had the Christmas presents that were wrapped,
mm-hmm.
and then when Christmas morning came, we'd go upstairs, and it would just be, there'd be unwrapped gifts around the tree. We'd each have our own little section, me and my two other brothers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Was that just because, like, I don't want to fucking wrap these?
Yeah, I think my mom didn't want to wrap them, and because when you're a kid and there's all these toys, there's all kinds of different various sizes.
Right.
And it's just a lot of work, and it's one of those things where... I gotta thank my mom. She was conserving paper.
Right.
I mean, it's great because we had our stocking, and then we had these sections where we each had toys, and it's you walk upstairs and you're like, oh, all of these toys.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great feeling when you're a kid.
Yeah.
So that's how it was for me.
Christmas is gonna get cool now that you got the little guy. This will be his first Christmas, right?
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
It's like Moxie's first Christmas. She had all these gifts and like she couldn't open them. She didn't get it.
Yeah, I'm kind of I'm of the same mindset where I'm not interested in people getting us toys for the baby.
Yeah.
Can we please get clothes? Shit. Just get us stuff that we actually need. Whereas he doesn't know toys. He has a plastic key ring that he chews on. He doesn't know what it is.
they're so simple, but everyone wants to like get them like the badass toy.
True.
That they're gonna play with.
He's not gonna know. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. I don't want him to care.
Right.
I don't want him to care. When Christmas time comes around next year, it's gonna be a nice Christmas.
Yeah.
But you know, let's push the brakes a little bit.
Yeah. You know? You need to if your family's anything like my family, you need to be adamant about like no, relax.
Right.
On that shit.
Yeah.
Moxie's birthday, she got like a billion. I'm thankful that so many people care about the girl, but for fuck's sake, she doesn't like, it's like 5 dresses.
Right.
And like, she's never going to wear all these.
Yeah.
It's just like, she doesn't care. She opened three gifts. It was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Save the rest.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
We'll see how it goes, man. Happy holidays.
'Tis the season.
You know, we just came off Black Friday.
Yeah.
And Cyber Monday.
Yeah, love Cyber Sex Monday.
Okay, okay. Is it just me, or as time has progressed, I don't know what is the better day to get deals.
What about Small Business Saturday?
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, is this something you're noticing? Where is Black Friday really that much savings? Because these companies have become so aggressive about saying, well, we have early Black Friday, so what am I supposed to do? Do I wait until Friday, or do I wait until Monday to order it online? And since the majority of people are moving over to online shopping because they don't have to leave the comfort of their home,
mm-hmm.
what does it matter?
Yeah.
Can we just have one day?
No.
Why?
Because they want it. They want you in there.
$20 billion
was spent.
$9.4 billion, according to Adobe Analytics, was spent Monday.
$9 billion.
Yes, over $9 billion was spent Monday, and over $7.5 billion was spent on Black Friday.
Jesus,
I just don't know what the better day is, and not just that. It is one of those things where when you do go shopping, you got to know what you want.
Yeah.
You got to know what you're going after and see what the deal is.
Well, if you haven't already noticed, the doorbusters are all bullshit. There's like, especially like, you see that article or that commercial for the fucking 4K, like 80 inch for like $1,200 or like whatever, whatever's amazing. Or like, I want that, the 30 inch for $99.
Yeah.
They got 10 of those. Yeah. You know, you got to be camped outside for those.
Is that how it works?
That's how it works. Or like you, like literally you have to have a tent outside. Your family has to rotate for like 3 days to get like that 4K. That's like $200.
Right.
You know?
Oh, I didn't know that it's limited quantity.
Yeah. It's not there. And then they hand out like a voucher for it.
Right.
So that, well, if they're smart, like Best Buy used to do this shit. So now, like, you just go in, you take the voucher straight to the register. You don't fight anybody, like, finding the TV safer, and, like, wrestling it down. Yeah. There's way more orderly. Or they come outside, like, way before, and they're like, what are you here for? Are you here for that for the camera? Are you here for the TV? And then you're passing out the vouchers then. Then they're out. So then anyone who's like, I'm going to go to Black Friday after dinner on Thanksgiving and like just walk in there when it's after it opens and everything. All that good shit's gone.
Mm.
All that good shit's gone. Best deals on Black Friday, video games and movies.
Mm.
And I think home appliances.
Right.
So you want a fridge or something?
Go Black Friday.
Yeah. You want a washer, dryer?
I'm not a big, like, I didn't really shop on anything on Black Friday, you know?
Yeah.
I checked out deals to see if there was anything interesting or that I'd be interested in getting, but I can't stand Amazon's, like, you can get all these Amazon items. And I'm like, I don't care about a Fire Stick or something that continues to hear my voice and it's recording me all the time.
Dude, that's the shit I don't, like.
I'm not interested.
I have a line. Yeah, there's a line drawn. I don't want that Alexa or Google Home.
Yeah.
Or what's the other one? Apple Home.
Yeah.
In my house.
Yeah.
But I mean,
you've got it on your phone. Your phone does it. Like I can say, okay, Google.
Yeah, your phone hears that shit.
Pops right on and it's hearing me right now. Hey, grab me a tuna sandwich and go to hell. See, that's what I said to my phone right now.
Will mine do it? Hey, Siri.
Yeah, well, there you have it. Did it work?
Nothing.
Well, that's it.
Oh, it's on silent, though.
So I got mine. Mine pulled up, and it gave me a recipe for a tuna melt.
Hey, anyway. Siri.
I guess you don't have it set up, Dan.
Oh, because I erased all my settings.
Yeah, you probably did. Anyway, no big deal. But yeah, it was so much. It was so over the top, and I'm like, I don't know. Black Friday, Mega Monday, what am I choosing? And I feel like the line is now blurred.
There's a Mega Monday?
No, I meant, you know, Marvel Monday or Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday. So that's, you know, that's it.
That's it, man.
If you guys have feelings about it, let us know. Send us a message.
Did you, were there good TV? I think the TVs are good on Cyber Monday.
Sure, TVs are a good deal if I need a TV. But yeah. I got 5 TVs in this house.
God damn.
Like, when That's we moved lot. Into this house, they just left all the TVs in all the rooms.
Yeah, you gave away, like,
I gave TVs. Away a used TV. You brand new used
for
TV.
For your birthday.
For my birthday one a couple years ago.
The Code Olympics.
The Code Olympics, man. We got to bring that back, 2020.
Let's do it, man.
Code Olympics returning this 2020.
I'm excited.
Every other year.
I mean, it's consumerism, man. Consumerism
it
at its worst.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But go get it. Yes. I just do this with my hand.
Oh.
See? I'm just making shapes with my hands now, Dan. It's because I have icky joints.
Oh, cool.
I've got these joints. They're real icky, and they stick, and then I have to move them and shake them around.
That sounds terrible.
It's you don't want icky joint.
You don't want an icky joint. I had an article. Remember when I was like, Cody, I want to be called an influencer. I want to be a podcast influencer.
Sure, yeah.
Or like, and I was saying, like, influencer is such a good buzzy, like, term these days.
Sure. Yeah, it is.
And I was like, I want to, like, comedic influencer. I take it all back. Yeah. I don't want to be called an influencer.
What story did you hear that says that being an influencer is not good to Dan Hill?
There's just I'm reading all these articles about people. Influencers, Instagram influencers. This is probably why Joe fucking jumped off of social media because of all this kind of bullshit.
Okay.
But everyone's familiar with people on Instagram who have over 10,000 followers or like 30,000, 40,000, and they like get paid to like eat a bag of Doritos.
Right.
On their Instagram.
Yes.
Or they get paid to like go to a hotel or go to an event.
Yes.
And like just make a post from there.
Sure.
And people are selling that. Yeah. The idea of that.
Yes.
Well, BuzzFeed, they provided a list of 17 screenshots of interactions with influencers, quote unquote, that are going to annoy you so much.
Okay.
And some of these are just like the pretentiousness of like, you mother effer, like you think that I'm gonna give you this for free because you have followers, you know? It's like, come on.
The entitlement that an influencer has?
Listen to this interaction.
Okay.
All right. This is an influencer seeking free rent. Okay. He says, hello. My name is, and it's blacked out. We'll call him James. And I am reaching out on behalf of Bachelor in Paradise contestant and social influencer Pete. Since capturing America's hearts on season 20 of ABC's The Bachelorette as the runner-up contestant vying for blank heart, his following fan base has exploded. In addition, insert name here, presence on the current season of Bachelor in Paradise has over 4.7 million weekly views. And they want, Jesus Christ, they want free rent. They want to live in Denver as a live-in social influencer. He absolutely loves your property. If this is something you would like to discuss further, please let me know.
Well, there's leverage there. Like, hey, if you have a property and it's new and you want people to move in, check this out. You give me a space and you can probably up your rents and you get all these people and they'll find out that there's vacancies because of me.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
You don't like this, Dan?
No, I hate it.
Why?
I hate it because it's disingenuous. If you like something, if you're actually fucking famous for something,
well,
you know?
it's one thing to be Katy Perry and have 45 million followers, right?
Right.
It's another thing to be Tom or whatever this guy's name is and have 30,000 followers or whatever his name is.
And you know, you don't promise anything. You just promise that folks are going to see your product and me on right. my page.
That's I mean, there's it. There is something to that, though, is there not?
You, I mean, there is, but you promise visibility. You're not promising sales.
No.
You're not guaranteeing anything.
There's no true metric that you're actually providing.
Yeah.
To say, this is how actually me as a influencer is affecting X.
Right. It's complete right. shit. Yeah. Like, can we go to Cameo and be like, hey, Ian bought a Cameo for Joe by listening to our podcast. Give us money. No. They'll be like, fuck you.
Well, that's not true.
Thanks for talking.
From an advertising standpoint, if you show that you've got the numbers to back up what you're claiming, then yes, you can. But what's happening is you're not, right? Like, you have to have proof to show that you actually have an active group of people following you and they'll listen to what you say. Athletes are one of the biggest influencers because their bases tend to follow and listen to the things that they want them to do. And if you think about it, what other avenue is there that you have where you can actually directly speak to an audience through one particular person? Because through television, it's not happening. It doesn't happen. You know the groups of people that know Katy Perry, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Katy Perry, I'm Doritos. We know that a lot of our market subset is followers of yours, and we need to let them know about our new Dorito product.
Mm-hmm.
It's cheaper for me to pay you, my marketing money, X amount of dollars to eat these Doritos, talk about these Doritos, than for me to make a commercial.
Hire actors,
pay to show it. Versus me being able to send direct messages anytime anybody views my Instagram that say, hey, this works. It's effective. How effective is it? When you look at sales on Instagram, when you see things being sold on you, and we've had this conversation, you're more likely to buy that shit.
Yeah. But it's the same is, way. The thing is, Katy Perry has earned it because she is Katy a singer. Perry. She's Katy a talented singer. She has a talent, and people enjoy her talent. People pay her to see her perform her talent.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people.
These people are, like, attractive and have 50,000 followers.
Yes.
And, like, listen to this fucking winner. She was trying to get, and it's, like, it's on a small scale. It's such a small scale that it's grimy. It's bargainy. It's bartery. I don't like it. Listen to this. So she wanted to get her nails done at this place. And the nail place was like, yeah, here, we take a deposit, make an appointment, come on in, and then you pay. And she wrote, yeah, I get that, but I have a lot of followers. So if I post my nails to my story when you do them, you will for sure get like 5 more clients who will probably do repeat business with you just by me posting my nails. I thought you would have seen my profile and thought it made business sense to do them for free because you will actually make money off me posting them. They wrote back, sorry, we don't do collaborations. It's that level of shadiness.
Well, I also think that when you're dealing, your approach is another thing too.
Yeah. Buy the fucking nails.
Yeah. In that scenario, it's like buy the nails. Bigger, more professional collaborations are important. That's called, you know, that's a business deal.
Is
really what it comes down to. Just randomly saying, I need to get my nails done. Well, I'm going to call Becky down at blah, blah, blah and say, hey, Becky, you know, I've got 4 million followers.
Can I post my nails on there and then like you'll wave it? It's grody.
That's not to say that it's not effective though, Dan. If they have the true number of followers, as you say, even 1% of 4 million people, say it's 4 million people, it's, you know, like The Bachelor, for example, 1% of 4 million people, dude, that's still what? 40,000 people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good. You're telling me that if we didn't collaborate with somebody that had 4 million followers, that, hey, we just interviewed this guy, 4 million followers, and we only get 1% of his people by him posting us, you wouldn't do it?
There's no promise, though. What are you guaranteeing?
There's never a guarantee with that stuff. But the guarantee is that even in this scenario where you go into a place and you're getting your nails done for free.
I thought you'd be totally on my side with this.
No, man. I think it's kind of flipping around this idea of regular people being able to get shit for free. And the skill that these people have,
yeah,
mind you, I don't exactly think that it's a long-term skill. I think something's going to happen with this influencer situation. There's always going to be those that are high above and doing things that they have all these followers and there's actual true value in what they're doing.
Yeah.
But these 10, 20, 30, 40,000 people, influencers, you're not going to make a lot of money.
Yeah. They're like, can I get a free Coke?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I get a bag of Skittles?
Yeah.
And then I'll post me eating them. Get out of here.
Right.
Buy the Skittles. Let's be friends.
I think it's tough, man. I see the value in it. There is true value there. It's just a matter of being able to represent yourself properly.
Yeah.
And not be a kid that's saying, oh, well, I have 20,000 followers, so.
I think you should offer to pay and then ask for like upgrades. It's like, sure. Hey, I'm staying at your hotel for a week. I just want to let you know. You know, I am a pop culture influencer or whatever. Are there any opportunities to collaborate and then maybe upgrade my room
sure.
or work a perk? Like, I think that's a little better than just being like, we'd love to stay for free and we're going to take some pictures.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
You got to work on the pitch.
That's true.
I guess.
But I mean, it really comes back to, what do you guys think? How do you feel about it?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, check us out, Instagram us, send us a voice message. We'll put it up on the podcast next week when we do a recap. We want to hear what you think about these influencers. About if this is a real business. You can obviously tell Dan has a venom towards these people.
Makes me sick. I don't like it.
HIV, man.
Whoa.
Vaccine on the way.
Whoa.
Very possible.
They cured AIDS.
They didn't cure AIDS.
And I didn't know about it.
A vaccine is not necessarily a cure, but...
It's the... what is it? What's the one that's PrEP? Remember we talked about PrEP?
Yep, we talked about PrEP. They actually mentioned PrEP.
Yeah.
The vaccine would be more helpful in areas like in Africa where there's a 50 to 60% infection rate.
Jesus.
PrEP is one of those things that you take after the fact.
No, PrEP is
PrEP
like...
PrEP is what you take regularly to avoid it, right?
Yeah, like you basically can't contract it.
Yes. So they're saying that they are putting together there are three vaccines that are looking very promising.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming into their final stages. And it's looking like we could possibly see a HIV vaccine for a couple strains of HIV within the next 2 to 3 years.
Really?
So
it's getting that close.
It's getting that close.
Would you get one?
No, I don't.
I wouldn't get it.
I think if you're high risk, it makes sense.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is HIV transmissions in the United States are relatively low. To give you some numbers, there's like 100 people that get it out of 1 million.
Really?
In like San Francisco, for example.
Yeah.
So the numbers have dropped down because of options like PrEP and because of other options that help, you know, people are more aware of it. They're protecting themselves. And those that are infected also have a lot more options to where they can take pills where
they can't pass it on.
And the number is basically immeasurable because it's so small.
Yeah.
So
magic's
still going and they can't, what is it? They're unable to, what the heck is it called?
Like if magic took an AIDS test right now, it would come back negative.
Yeah. They wouldn't know. I don't know if they wouldn't know. It's just, it's so low that they can't. But the benefit to this is if they can get a vaccine approved and it's successful and it's effective, then places in Africa can see a real, real decrease. And, you know, that's a big deal.
Why is it so bad in Africa?
It's a cultural thing, from what I've read.
Some places don't believe in vaccines.
They don't believe in contraception. And protecting yourself during intercourse is one thing. And so since there's so many people that have it, and it's because it's such a poor country, and because a lot of the countries are very poor, mm-hmm. they can't pay to fight the disease. And it's also, once you have the disease in a weird way, it's kind of a mark of shame. On top of that, you have so many other people that have it. I mean,
you're like cast away.
Yeah, yeah. So it's supposed to help broaden the coverage, and it should be interesting to see if it happens. You know, they recently had a couple vaccines that went and then they failed. They just didn't work out. But there's these three vaccines that they started trials on in 2016, 2017, and 2019 all look particularly hopeful. So
that's great.
Yeah. So, this is interesting. So I was telling you, San Francisco has 250 new cases of HIV for every million people. And that's at the introduction of PrEP in 2012. Washington, D.C. had over 530 cases per million people once PrEP was introduced. So,
damn.
Yeah, man. If they can get that number to go down just across the world, it's, you know, living in a first world country helps in a lot of ways for us.
That'd be crazy to live through, like, you know, AIDS epidemic and then AIDS cure.
At least, vaccine. Yeah. We've already come to a point where AIDS is much more manageable.
Yeah.
Hell, there's ads on television for people with AIDS. Take this pill, and it's only one pill, and you can manage your AIDS.
Yeah.
That's a commercial. It's a commercial like make sure you get your flu vaccine.
Right.
It's that prevalent and so easy for you to access and gain access to.
Is this shit expensive still?
I imagine it's pretty pricey. They don't tell you the price on the commercial, but
right.
I would think that, you know, your insurance pays quite a penny to have that done, but...
Yeah. What was up with that guy who was like charging ridiculous amounts for his meds, for the AIDS meds?
Was it the AIDS meds?
And he I think he got
the Dallas Buyers Club?
No.
No. That's not AIDS. That was like EpiPens or whatever it is.
Yeah, he was like quadrupling
Ritalin or something. Not Ritalin. What is it? I don't remember what it was. But it's like if you're having a reactive shock, they have these pens that you stab into them and it injects them.
Yeah.
I think it's for diabetics.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think it's for diabetics and they jab them in and it saves people's lives.
Yeah.
But it would come to where it's like $1,200 to have one of these shots. And you would keep these shots with you. Insulin injections or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And he was charging an arm and a leg for
it. He was able to corner the market and push up the cost of these things to the point where they were, you know, people had to buy them.
Yeah.
Because they had to live, but they were insane, like ridiculous numbers. I don't have all the information there, so I can't really speak about it. But
he ended up getting like screwed, right? I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. You know, you guys have thoughts, feelings. Let us know. Dan, I think it's time for this week's
True Crime.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Well, you should wait because you're not going to like this one.
Oh, no.
A couple weeks ago, I talked about a kid being thrown in a barrel of acid.
And dissolved.
And he dissolved. Well, I'm coming back with a hot and heavy another topic.
Oh.
So police were called to the home of a woman in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a 75-year-old woman. And police arrived at her home to find her dead. She'd been dead for about 2 weeks. Gee. In her place. The detective searched for the apartment for any clues that could help them find out why she may have passed.
Yeah.
And what they ended up finding was that they found a freezer chest that, you know, you like a bigger one that you'd put like meats in and you let it freeze and it's, you'd open it up and it's big.
Yeah.
And it's specifically for that. And they found the woman's husband's body frozen inside, fully intact, frozen inside of this freezer.
What? the hell was she doing with it?
They believe, the police believe, that he has been in there in this short period of time. This is just recent, so they don't have the exact because they've been unable to take the tests. But they believe he's been frozen for either a year and a half, but possibly up to 11 years. So
no,
they're not sure. At this point, they weren't sure what caused his death. But they believe she kept him there so that he could, so she could continue to accept his VA benefits and his Social Security checks.
What?
Yeah. So imagine getting away with that.
And nobody checked on
him? Nobody checked on him. It's just, oh, that's her husband. That, or that's her wife. That's his wife. She's obviously not feeling well. Must be in the house. And to think that, you know, her neighbors were worried because they hadn't seen her.
Right.
But then the police show up. And they're like, well, we find her. Let's find out why she died. Let's look around the house. Look in the freezer. There's a human body in there. And he was 69 years old, apparently.
And the checks are just still coming.
They believe so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's how broken this society is. That this lady can't come away from the checks.
Right. Well, I mean, you know.
It's dishonest on her part.
It's dishonest on her part. You know, maybe she'd been married to him in a long time and she felt that she had it coming.
When you're that old, though, you should be taken care of.
You think so?
You shouldn't have to worry.
You think so, no matter what?
No matter what.
You don't think that there should be any responsibility for you as an adult to prepare yourself to be able to not work anymore?
If you were a contributor to civilized society for 40 years, we'll say 40 years, then you deserve a nice ride into the sunset.
So
that's what I believe.
Don't you think that's what Social Security is?
Yeah. But is it doing that? I don't think so. I think it's failing people.
Yeah. How is Social? I mean, I don't know how is it failing people?
I don't think it's enough.
So you think that you? Mm-hmm. Let me throw this at you. Mm-hmm. So you think that your money that you make that's taxed,
mm-hmm.
that you should be taxed more to pay for them?
No, I don't know. Maybe. If that's what, is that what has to happen?
Well, where does the money has to come from somewhere. So Social Security.
Take it from the military.
No.
Spending billions of dollars over there.
They spend a lot of money in the military.
Shitload of money. How many tanks do you all really need?
They sure do. And I'm not.
How many missiles?
I am pro.
You got a warehouse full of missiles.
I am pro social programs, Dan. And I am pro taking care of people.
Hell yeah.
But Social Security's job is to help hedge that bet. It is a social program. It is a program meant to help you manage that step. I don't think the government should have to fully take care of you. I don't think that's like, that should be okay.
Why? It would be awesome.
But there's still always going to be a level. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But the minute you move that standard up, that standard's the bottom of the barrel now.
These people need to be taken care of.
I agree.
This poor old woman keeping her dead husband in a fucking freezer because she needs that money to survive.
It's true.
I mean, that's me looking at it with like innocent eyes.
You're probably right.
She could be a dishonest bitch who murdered him and then like wants to
just keep
all
money.
That money right. And like stack it and sure. Like be like she's buying porno with it. Who knows?
Sure. Who knows?
But I like to look at it as sweet old Martha you know, can't afford a fucking can of corn at the grocery store.
We don't know
needs
that.
Needs to freeze her dead husband so that she can eat.
Hey, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. It's expensive to retire.
Yeah.
And there are social programs put in place to help you do that. Medicare is a big one.
People stick their parents in homes. That sucks.
People stick their parents in homes that the government pays for.
But the government doesn't pay for all of it.
Depends on the home you get put into.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're going to get great service.
Right.
I mean, if you properly saved and prepared yourself for that end game.
Yeah.
I'm okay with the idea that you kind of have to manage your own retirement, live within your means. It sucks. But yeah. It's part of your responsibility as a human being, as an adult. I'm walking into a potential situation where, I have family members that probably aren't taking care of their future. And who's that going to fall on? I don't think the government's responsibility is to take care of that person. I think that person's responsibility is to take care of themselves.
I mean,
you feel okay to pay for everybody else's poor choices?
What do other countries do?
There's other countries that have social programs. There's also other countries that offer completely socialized medicine, where it may not be the best medicine in the world, but you're guaranteed health care.
Yeah.
But that's not America. Everybody wants the best all the time.
I don't want the best.
Bullshit.
No.
Bullshit, Dan Hill.
This is
a man that says, like, you know,
I want,
what?
I want, this is pretty good.
No, you did. Yeah. You want everything to be branded.
It depends.
It's got to be brands.
It depends.
It's got to be brands. If I was to give you a vinyl character in a plain white box.
That said, like, Dunco?
It didn't say even that. Generic. It says vinyl character. That's what it says. Black, white, boring.
Like, what is
not
this?
Not Funko.
Is this a prototype?
No. We just made 75,000 of these, and we shipped them across the country. Here's one to you, Dan. I don't want it. It's not Funko.
I mean, when it comes to like socialized medicine or free healthcare,
right.
I would gladly go down a little bit
there
to get that for free.
America in general needs a mindset shift to be able to say that, okay, I'm willing to accept the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. I'll take fake Advil. I don't give a fuck.
Okay.
I take
you don't want brand name ibuprofen, huh?
What is it called? Up and Up? I take Up and Up.
I don't know what Up and Up is.
DayQuil. Fake DayQuil.
Hey man, I don't want you to get confused. I believe that we should have programs that help people and take care of people.
Absolutely.
But I don't necessarily know, me as a taxpayer, like, should I have to take care of everybody because certain people make poor decisions?
I mean, if you can, you good? You're good right now?
No, I'm good.
I'm good right now.
I'm good right now. If you can help, help. Yes.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Like, I'm all right.
But at the same time, those same people that can't because they're incapable, it's like, you know.
I don't mind being taxed for that type of stuff.
I don't mind. No, and I'm very much in the same way. But there's people
who get pissed.
People,
like,
get really
fuck
upset.
That. I'm not paying for that welfare check.
Right.
She's got fucking 10 kids.
Right.
And she's on heroin. You can't look at it like that. You got to think like, I'm not paying for her either.
Yeah, you're paying for those kids.
I'm paying for the mom in school.
Right.
Like. Working two jobs, got three kids, made some poor decisions.
She needs some extra help.
I'm paying for the veteran who fought in the Iraq war, came back, and is on hard times.
That's true.
Paying for that guy.
Right.
I'm paying for the crackhead.
You are, but yes.
I mean, I'm going to pick and choose.
It's a big bucket.
Yeah. There's going to be people who abuse the system,
always.
No matter what.
Always.
But it's like, I'll take 80%. Not abuse, and happily accept the 20% who do fuck it up, who do abuse.
I think that's fair, yeah.
But, I mean, I'm making up 80-20. I'm not sure exactly what the split is there with abuse and not abusing the system.
True.
But you're going to get it. I mean.
So then there are programs that are available that help people.
You don't have to freeze your husband?
Not yet.
The collector's check.
Madeline tries to put me inside this terrible ice box that's sitting next to us.
I'll be old as fuck, like knocking on your door.
Hey, is Cody in there? Maddie, let me check your freezer.
So what could she have gone down for? Murder?
I mean, if they find out that
fraud?
He was, that as well.
If she was alive.
All of these things. If she was taking checks and they're able to determine the age of that body and they're able to determine how that person died.
She's getting fraud.
She's getting fraud, potentially murder.
Mutilation of a body like the other people.
Yeah, they could have done that. I mean, I imagine there's all kinds of charges.
What do you look like frozen for 10 years? If you flicked him, would he crack?
No.
Could you like snap a nose off or a finger?
Maybe. I don't know.
I bet you could.
I've never froze anybody. I don't know, man. I have to say, I had those steaks frozen,
mm-hmm.
and they were a brick. There was no way I was going to chip anything off of it.
Those were frozen today that we just ate?
They were frozen because I picked it up fresh from the market, and then I vacuum seal them.
Right.
Because I'm not going to be able to eat them all, so I vacuum seal and freeze them.
Those were good-ass steaks, man.
Had some good-ass steaks today.
Did you thaw them out today?
Yeah. You're not. I take them out. So they don't go back in the fridge. You wanted to get room temperature with steaks like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen the my buddy Nate? Nate, if you're listening, what's up, man? He had this thing. We had some beautiful steaks over at his place. Cooks them in the water.
Mm.
They're like in water the whole time in these bags, and then like you just turn the temperature on. In the water.
Do they boil the water? Does he boil the water?
It's basically like a hot tub for your steak.
Yeah.
But it was slow cooked for like, I don't know, 9 hours, 10 hours.
You've done that with eggs.
All day.
Poached eggs.
Is that what poached eggs are?
Yeah, poached eggs are you basically take the egg, you put it in water, hot water, cooks it, pulls it out.
But I mean, this is like some of the most tenderest meat I ever ate.
Okay.
And I was like, how the hell did you cook these?
I need to check that out. You need to find me a YouTube video.
It's like I don't know what you call it. It's like a water cooker.
Wow.
It's delicious. Better than the steaks we had tonight.
Better than a frozen old man.
I'm kidding. It's fucking, the steaks were really good.
They worked out. Anyway.
Woo.
Well, man.
Dude. My main man, Michael McGee, he made some shirts.
He made some shirts.
Yeah. I hit him up. My sister's significant other, Mike, he's an awesome artist. He's made me a ton of shit over the years. Sculpted me a Pickle Rick, sculpted me a Krampus. He can do anything. He made Moxie a bunch of stuff. Made her a light box, Agrabah.
Ooh, an Agrabah light box.
Aladdin's Jasmine's.
It's kingdom. Layered like paper mache.
Yeah,
but it's layered to make it look to add depth. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
The guy is an incredible artist. The deal is he likes making shirts too. He makes shirt designs, and I like to think that I know pop culture. So when Disney Plus came out, they released a new version of Star Wars. Episode 4.
Yeah.
It was basically George Lucas's last fuck you before he sold it to Disney. But they redid the Greedo Han Solo scene again. You guys know how, you know, you're aware of how much they've fucked with that scene over the years, right?
No.
Like,
what's the history?
In the original, Han and Greedo are having this debate.
Yeah.
In the cantina.
Yeah.
It's the first time you see Han.
Yes.
And they're in a heated conversation while they're chatting. Han has his gun in his holster. He like puts up his leg. He takes out his gun and he's still talking to Greedo. And he says, "Yes, I bet you have." And then shoots Greedo.
Yes.
That's the scene.
Yeah.
Han just blows this dude away.
Right.
Without any sort of aggression from Greedo.
He's a cold killer.
Yeah. That's the original Hansa. He's a sleaze bag. He's a dirt bag. Well, over the years.
A scoundrel, Dan.
A scoundrel, yeah. Over the years, Lucas, I guess, wanted to go away from that, make it more family.
Right.
So they like retooled the scene to show Greedo actually shooting Han. And Han shooting Greedo in self-defense.
Okay.
And it doesn't make any goddamn sense because they're sitting like you and I are right now across a table from each other. It's not really a lot.
Point blank. You can't miss. You
can't really miss there, you can't Greedo.
Can't miss, man.
Especially when Greedo's another bounty hunter or whatever.
Right, right.
So the outrage, the history of this whole thing, and it's become a thing of Han shot first.
Yeah.
You know, you're aware of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who shot
argument.
First?
Who shot first? Yeah. Han or Greedo?
Yeah.
Everyone says Han shot first. Well, Disney Plus rolls out, and there's another new version of this Han and Greedo scene where Han, he says the line, "Yes, I bet you have," and is about to shoot Greedo.
Uh-huh.
Then you see before Greedo, quote unquote, shoots first, that new edit, he says this word that is like word, like you cannot, they have inserted this word, maklanke. And then like Greedo shoots and then Han shoots Greedo. So I was like, as soon as I saw this shit, I hit up my man Mike and I was like, "Mike, you got to make McClunky shirts, bro.
McClunky.
Have you seen it?"
No, I haven't watched it. Oh, I'm going to watch it tonight. I'll show you about it. Yeah.
He goes, "It doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, why that word, George Lucas? Why did you put McClunky in there?"
George Lucas did this?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that for sure?
I'm pretty sure. Like,
because I'm surprised Disney would allow that.
What? To meddle with he's like meddled with them all.
Yeah, but I know that, but I'm saying Disney could have changed it back.
I guess so. Maybe they didn't notice.
Mark Lankey.
But yeah, like Greedo just randomly after how long did the first Star Wars come out? 76?
77, yeah.
77? How old is that?
40 years.
40 years?
Yeah.
And then this dude says McClunky. So Mike has rolled out all these cool designs of McClunky and Greedo. And
it's one hell of a pitch, Dan. That took you roughly 25 minutes to
tell that
pitch.
I'm an influencer. So
check him out. Where do you go to visit him, Dan?
Here we go. If you want, check out these shirts. We're gonna post them on Instagram. And
don't touch that baby.
Email hgartshirts@gmail.com.
hgartshirts@gmail.com. hgartshirts@gmail.com.
And we don't get any money from this shit. I promise. I'm not being an influencer here. I'm just trying to help out my main man sell some merch. And they're dope ass shirts.
Check them out.
McClunky.
Thank you guys for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast this week. If there's any topics that you felt you want to relate to or chat about or have a conversation with us about, go ahead and get on Instagram, get on in, send us a little voicemail. We're going to throw it up there on next week's podcast when we do our recap segment, and we'd love to have a conversation with you.
Shelf your elves.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening and laughing with the Dan and Cody podcast. Our email is danandcodypodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are on Instagram @DanCodyPodcast. Check out our website, danandcody.com, and you can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/DanCodyPodcast.
Subscribe, bitch!
Everybody played itself down the shit, bro.
Right.